It is a great pleasure to be with you this morning after many years of being away from this congregation that is our church home now. We're at a distance for all these years, but this is our home church, and we're very grateful that after 5 years of being gone, we can come back and share with you what God has done in these 5 years. As Rich said, we actually thought we were retired. Robin had a job with Regent and was looking at going for another year, and then we were surprised by an invitation from the IMB to come back in order to minister, do two things. One is continue being liaisons with the Venezuelan Baptist Convention, between IMB and Venezuelan Baptist Convention. And because I was able to resurrect my Mexican citizenship, I've been able to go in and out of Venezuela, which I couldn't as an American citizen. And during the time that we were in the reappointment process, the crisis exploded in Venezuela. Yeah, it had been building. Yeah, there had been, but then suddenly thousands upon thousands of Venezuelans began to leave the country. And that was what took up most of our attention and energies. But at the same time, we saw God very much at work. But this church, has been a support. Y'all have been praying for us. You've been sending money to support. And I want to let you know that money, we have a lot of different projects that are going on. But the money that y'all sent, we used for working with Venezuelans that were actually trying to settle down in Bogota, and we helped them with getting micro businesses going. So, because you have the crisis that goes down, and you are at the mercy of whoever, whatever, and God's provision in here, there, and it's a crisis. Then there's a stabilization, where they can find a place where they can actually settle, and that is where we use those offerings is to help in the stabilization. That's not that many people, but it is makes a huge difference, and I want to thank you for that. But as you see from the, if we can get the, there you go. Want to just kind of share a little bit, just give a synopsis. Venezuela's definitely been on the news. Now it's been washed out by Ukraine, but the crisis is still going on. Go to the next one. Want to show you just a little bit. It's a country that's been in meltdown for 20 years, and it has been a slow death. The industries have been destroyed, a lot of unemployment, hyperinflation. It came to the point, starting in 2016, where things just got so bad that we had a flow of people. You can see the empty supermarket shelves, the money that is worthless, and I'll show you a bill that came out. And then you see the hordes of people that began to leave. Next slide, please. And this is about a year ago, a 1 million Bolivar bill came out. And as you can see, it was enough to buy a loaf of bread. That's how bad it got. And probably right now, the monthly salary is around $17. Okay, so not very many people can live on that. Next slide, please. So at first, you know, with the crisis starting to build, you started seeing a lot of people leaving by plane, the ones who could. This is the mosaic in the departure lounge of the Simón Bolívar International Airport at Caracas. And what people would do, and it was mostly young people who were looking to their future, and they're saying, there's no future for us here. And the professionals and those who had the means began to leave, leaving their parents. The parents was, you know, they would say, why don't you come with me? And they say, no, our life is here. You go on, and we'll support you. There is now a whole society of what we call orphaned parents. All the young people, all the children have left, and the parents have been left all alone. So when people would leave, and we saw this time and time again, as a matter of fact, when we left in 2014, we took pictures of our feet. And people will take pictures of their feet, and with the hope that one day they will be able to step once again on that mosaic and return to their country. Next slide. The second snapshot is what happened later on. The professionals and the ones who had the means to leave by plane did so. Then the ones who had a little bit, you know, not as much, but still the means, would come to the crossing in Cúcuta. And this is an international bridge, and you'd have hordes of people coming across. Many of them were going on. And you go across the bridge, and there's people that are selling bus tickets. And for $200, they can get all the way to Lima, Peru. For $400, they can go all the way to Santiago, Chile. And these are countries that did have something to offer to them. And Peru has over 1.5 million Venezuelans in that country. Chile, 500,000. Of course, Colombia is closing in on 3 million. And so this is a snapshot of visual. Then something else happened. You know, couldn't go out by plane, couldn't go out by bus. The next slide, please. Next one. Then we began seeing this. Because Venezuelans with less means, maybe they had sold everything that they had and gone to the border and said, oh, we have at least a month of finances to be able to survive and find a job. But then when they get to the border, the Bolívar is so devalued, it's not worth anything. And there's so many in Cúcuta, so many Venezuelans in Cúcuta, there's no jobs to be had. So they decide, it's time to keep going. They don't have the money for the bus, so they start walking. And the first leg of the walk is about 130, 140 miles. And it is from 900 feet in Cúcuta, where it's hot. And you got to remember, Venezuela is a hot country. Most of these people come to Cúcuta, they're in shorts, short sleeves, flip-flops, or Crocs, and a backpack. And then they start walking. But that road leads into the Andes Mountains, and they have to cross an 11,000-foot pass. And it gets cold up there. It gets very cold. The coldest they know is sticking their hand in the freezer of the refrigerator. You know, we found a group at 7,000 feet, and the kid came up to us with short sleeves and shorts, and he's kind of saying, is it going to get colder than this? And I'm going to say, oh, son, you don't know. And so that is one of the things that they're doing. And at one time, there was 500, 600 people per day walking that highway. Now, you go along the highway, and you see the groups as they're walking along this two-lane highway with 18-wheelers just going right by them. And then later on, at first it was just, you know, like this group right here, mostly young people. But later on, it became families. Little kids walking with their parents. And you look at this, you know, and this kind of exploded on our radar in about 2018, right after we had gone there. And you're going, how can we help? What can we do to help so many people? Anything we do is a drop in the bucket. But yet, we have discovered that God is a great God. It's not our work, Paul and Robin, because we would just burn out, but it's God's work and God's love for those people. Yeah, and the resilience of the Venezuelans is incredible. This other picture right here, I just want to show you. This is a mother and her 12-year-old son who has a problem with the leg, and he was needing an operation that he couldn't get in Venezuela. So what are they doing? The brother and the mother are pushing that 12-year-old along the highway. This is where we found him. We found him along the side of the road. And she was selling bags made out of the worthless Venezuelan bills. And I wish I could show it to you, because it is a work of art. And so Robin and I bought it. We emptied our pockets to be able to give it to her. I wish we could have given her more. And we prayed with them that God would give them a ride all the way to Bogota. We don't know the story. But a mother who is pushing their son, and it was going to be 320 miles if they had to walk the whole way. So that is a snapshot. And I could be here all day telling you about the situation and everything. But I want to focus in this morning on how God does it. You know, he called us back. And we look at the situation, it's just out of proportion to anything that we could do. But God was building a team. God was bringing together people, organizations, churches, people and organizations from all sorts of countries. You know, from, of course, Colombia, Venezuela, Brazil, United States. And I began to see how God was going to do it, okay? So on the one of the first trips up, and I'm seeing all these people going up, and when we got to the top, yeah, we were told that a bunch of Venezuelans had died because of exposure. The next day, the pastor of the one who was speaking at the church service in Cúcuta mentions that, and he mentions that he has a piece of property up at the 11,500 foot pass, and he has a heart for me. He says every time they go by, you know, we give them water, we give them bread, whatever we can. So we started talking. And he says, I have that piece of property. If we could get a container, you know, the shipping container, and put it up there and open the doors and people could get in. And because if they get caught up at the pass, it's very dangerous for them. One thing led to another. About 2 months later, I get a call from a guy named Kevin White. He says, "Hey, Paul, how are you doing?" And this is a guy who had been a missionary, 2-year missionary in Caracas with us. And he says, "Hey, I'm going to Cúcuta." "Really? What are you going to do there?" "Yeah, I'm going with Samaritan's Purse, and I'm going to help set up shelters." So I said, "Brother, the day you hit Colombia, I'm going to go out there and be with you, and I'm going to show you some things." And so, sure enough, as soon as he got there, flew out there, and we went up to the pass. And as he's going up, he's saying, "Well, maybe we can rent that building, or maybe that building." And I'm kind of, "Oh, they have resources that we don't have." And we get up to the top, and there is a restaurant that is no longer functioning. Matter of fact, it is belonged to our friend Wilson, who inherited it along with his brothers and sisters. And he asked, "Can we use it for a shelter?" And they said, "No way." But then I thought, his brothers aren't believers. Maybe a little bit of rent money would help. And sure enough. And so Samaritan's Purse set up a shelter at the 11,000-foot pass. So that is an example how God can, you know, brought in different people, organizations, and everything to minister. It just wasn't just a couple of people. Suddenly there was all these other groups that were helping out and being able to bring together the Colombian church to work. And I'll give you an example. One of the things, the main thing that we were able to do, and this didn't start with us. The Venezuelan Baptist Convention started talking with Fielder Road Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas, by a connection that they had. They came and they set up a ministry house right at the border. And what they did with that house was to, it'd be a place where Venezuelans could get a breakfast, use a bathroom, get a shower, wash their clothes, and get medical attention. The IMB came in alongside to help out with that, and the Sin Relief organization to be able to prop it up and make it a stronger ministry. Then later on, with First Baptist Church Cúcuta, another house was set up to do the same thing. But this time it's on the way out. So, you know, that is, we've seen that. And the Brazilian Baptists did the same thing on the Brazilian border. So we see God very much at work. And one of the things, you know, that we saw, and I can, you know, tell you lots of things that happened. But another one that was interesting was the shoes. You know, go up the highway and, you know, we had sandwiches and coffee and ministered to them, shared the love of Jesus with them. But the first thing they would say, they'd lift up their foot and say, my shoes are shot. You know, and I learned to take duct tape. You know, duct tape can help duct tape their shoes and they have another 20, 30, 40 miles with that duct tape. But Robin is one who's saying, we got to do something about that. And God had in our church in Bogota a guy who was a executive for the largest shoemaker in Colombia. And we started talking, and we were able to get together, you know, have a make a make a get a sin relief project on, you know, going. And so they provided 330 pairs of shoes per month and shipped them out to the border. And our partners in on the border gave those shoes out to the walkers, to the caminantes, as we call them. Later on, that company disappeared. We didn't know, you know, they wouldn't answer their phones or emails or anything. So Robin said, well, we got to do something about this. Talk to the pastor's wife at First Baptist Cúcuta, and she said, and we knew that she did a lot of work with shoes. And Robin asks Ingrid, what do you think about setting up a shop? Because we had already done one project with leather working. Could y'all produce those shoes? I said, give us 2 days. Calls back and says, yes, we can do it. And so now Venezuelans, a Colombian shoemaker is teaching Venezuelans how to make shoes, tennis shoes, that are then given to the walkers. Only God can do that. So God knows what their needs are, and that's the message that we give them as they're walking, as they say, God knows, God loves you, God knows exactly where you are, and he knows your needs. And we saw this in a beautiful situation. First Baptist Atlanta had sent a team, and we'd gone up to the pass, and they had clothes, and we were able to give out some of those clothes at the shelter, but there was some left over, and they said, oh, they were disappointed. So on the way down, we'll find some more Venezuelans. It had been raining, you know, just cold, damp rain. And as we started down, the sun came out. And after a little bit, this beautiful rainbow came out of the valley. I mean, it wasn't up here. It was in the valley at this level. And I said, wow, that's beautiful. Three curves later, there's three Venezuelans sitting on the side of the road. And I said, let's stop. So we get out, and we talk with them, and I ask them, what do you need? The guy said, my feet are shot. My shoes are gone. I need shoes. And so we said, well, let's see what we have. And one of the other companions also needed shoes. There was two pairs of shoes left. They fit perfectly. And as I told him, I said, this doesn't come from us. This comes from Jesus. God loves you. And the one guy says, I know. He says, when we walk by that rainbow, I said, Father God, I need some shoes. He had already asked. And God answered that quickly. So does God love them? Is he on the heart of those Venezuelans? Yeah, he's working. It's a terrible situation, but God is at work, and he's at work through his people. And that is what I want to express to you, that you all are a part. As Southern Baptists, we have the cooperative program. We send out missionaries. There's over 3,600 missionaries that are serving around the world because of the cooperation between Southern Baptist churches for the support of missions overseas and also here in the States. It is wonderful, and I would encourage you to continue to support that cooperation. Because one church by itself cannot do anything. but us together can. And this is what Paul in this passage was telling the Romans. As I look at that passage in Romans 15, you know, he talks about his work, what God had done through him in Asia Minor and Europe, and you know the being able to complete what he said, complete the work. Now, I don't think the work was complete. I think there's still a lot of people needing to hear about Jesus. But his part had been finished because he had set the ball rolling with people. You know, he led people to the Lord, discipled them, and they then were the ones who took the gospel to their people. And so he says, I've done my work. So I want to go to Spain. And when I go to Spain, I want to stop and visit y'all there in Rome. And you will help me along the way. Which I would think would be prayer, finances, encouragement. But he says, but first, I got to go to Jerusalem. Because the churches, Macedonia, has sent an offering to Jerusalem, and I'm going to go deliver it. So you see right there the work that is going on, the interconnectedness, and that is what we saw in these last 4 years, the interconnectedness of the church. And let me tell you, Oklahoma was well represented in these last 4 years. First Baptist Broken Arrow has sent at least four teams to Cúcuta. We were able to connect them to there. OBU sent a team to Northern Colombia and worked for 3 weeks with a church, Colombian church, that had set up a children's ministry with the Venezuelans. And we were in Falls Creek this week and sharing with the kids and some of the counselors, and one of the counselors come up and says, our daughters were on that team. I'm going, yes. And a project that is going on right now, and there's actually two projects that is being funded by Southern Baptists, and that's one is Ravens. And Ravens is a project that gets the funds into Venezuela, and we to 11 distribution points, and they buy wholesale food, and then they give it out to the pastors and missionaries so that they can stay and continue to minister in Venezuela. And the other project is getting medicines in. And there's a guy by the name of Alan Carlton. I don't know if you know him. He's a member of South Tulsa, and South Tulsa has taken on this project. They are sending in hundreds of boxes of medicines into Venezuela. And it is a joint project, South Tulsa, other people that want to give and send relief. And so this is being used by the Venezuelan churches to have medical clinics to hand out to, you know, for doctors to be able to see people, and they give them medicines that they need. So Oklahoma is well represented in the work in Colombia. And of course, y'all supported us, and I'm very, very grateful that you're going to set up that we are coming back to retire, but y'all are going to continue with our daughter and her husband. I'm very, very grateful for that. So this is, I want you to know, y'all are important. And the word that is in my mind is called, we all pitch in together. Whether it's praying, and y'all have prayed for us all these years, and we thank you. whether it's giving to the cooperative program, Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you know, you gave to us for these special projects that we had in Colombia. Sending, you know, going. Y'all are, you know, you have all these mission trips that you're going to be going on here in this summer. And I really commend you on that. You know, we would have had a team from Arrow Heights if it hadn't been for COVID. But Lord knows. But also sending. Because as you are faithful, God is also going to call out people from this congregation and send them, whether to another part of the States or other part of the world. And that is something that our churches should be doing and praying for. You know, that's a little hard because, you know, parents may be praying for their children are the ones that God says going. And I'm, you know, former pastor of Parkview, Steve Lewis and his wife, they're sending their daughter, I think it's daughter, off to Africa. But the joy of the Lord, seeing your children serving the Lord in different places. So we work together. We have to pitch in. Whether it's to pray, whether it's to give, whether it's to go, whether it's to send. And I thank you that you all sent us. You know, we thought we were going to be here for the duration. And when the IMB called and said, we need you to go back, started talking with Andy Taylor and with Rich and said, well, we give you our support. And I'm very, very grateful for that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for serving. And what you have done has made it possible for people to hear about Jesus. And that is important. In the same way that y'all heard about Jesus, someone came to you, someone shared Jesus with you. It's our task and our privilege to be able to do the same, whether here in Tulsa and Broken Arrow or elsewhere. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so very much for your loving kindness. I want to thank you for Arrow Heights Baptist Church. Lord, for their heart, for their mission heart. Lord, their love for you and for the desire to make disciples, your disciples. And I pray that you would raise up a new generation of servants, those who are willing to hear your voice and hear your call to go wherever it is that you would have them go. And Lord, that this congregation could be a lighthouse to the nations. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's here today. And Lord, we pray for Venezuela. We pray for the Venezuelans. We pray, Lord, for your people that minister to them, whether within Venezuela or out, but that you would do your work, and your work is great, and I want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless y'all. We'll see you in the next go-around. We'll be around later on, hopefully next year. Thank you. Lord bless y'all.
Thank you, Paul. We'd like to just let our congregation know that us pastors, we will be right out here in this hallway for anyone who would like to come and talk with one of us. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about some things. Maybe you need prayer. or maybe you are ready to make a profession of faith or join our church. But us pastors, we would love to have some time with you to talk and pray. So we will be, again, right out here in this hallway. All right, I'm going to ask that the McIntyre family come up, please. This is the McIntyre family. This is Brian and Whitney and Jackson. So we just want to say welcome. We're so glad to have you all a part of our family and our church family. I think most of you know that Whitney's mom is a member of our church. She joined back in November. Joyce did. And of course, Joyce and your father, David Jones, he was the longtime pastor at First Baptist Church, Coweta, but he has gone on home to heaven. And so we are thrilled to have y'all with us. All right. So if you're thrilled, would you please say amen and please stand? I'm going to ask if y'all wouldn't mind just staying here. That way people can come and welcome you. All right? Okay. Our scripture reading benediction comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And it says, "Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." God bless, church. Have a great rest of the day.